The right person for the right job. Seems easy enough, doesn't it? Hire a beautician to work at a hair salon, hire a trained chef to work the kitchen at a restaurant, hire a veteran, be a security guard at school, hire someone with an education degree speaking of schools to be a teacher. Pretty simple, isn't it? Let me try this one out for size. Hire a conspiracy-addicted lawyer to head Health and Human Services and oversee your health care. Ridiculous, you probably say. No, it's reality, which in just a few months has created consequences. Many more to be seen, apparently. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., becoming the Director of Health and Human Services, has brought about turmoil, confusion, even intimidation, just about everything else that you do not want to have as part of health care. Next guest is part of one of the many organizations which have called for Kennedy to be fired. He is Director of Public Citizens Health Research Group, Dr. Robert Steinberg. How are you today, Doctor?
I'm fine. Glad to be with you.
Well, Grant, glad to have you here to bring light into a lot of things that, well, sadly, a lot of things that some people see as okay, but maybe even more so people want to keep hidden until it's too late. Citizen.org, by the way, to find out more about the focus and the work of Public Citizen. Compare and contrast, Doctor, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. at his confirmation hearing versus the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. we saw just over a week ago at a Senate committee hearing.
Absolutely. There was some circumspection, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wanted to be confirmed. And he made some promises about things he would do and things he wouldn't do. And many of those promises did not seem to be followed through on. And a number of the Republican senators who voted to confirm him were pushing back and raising some serious questions, particularly about Kennedy's approach to vaccines. There was nothing really surprising about what he was doing because his views were well known, and his views were well known before he was confirmed. But he was carrying through on what he said that he believed in, and it's been a big mess, and it's been very bad for public health.
I used the word consequences in my introduction. Some people listening might take umbrage to that choice of words, but when you have a measles outbreak in the United States in the 21st century, I kind of call this a consequence.
Right. Well, the potential for measles outbreaks and low vaccination rates lower than the amount to make likely so-called herd immunity or population protection. These have been ongoing problems even before the Trump administration for many years. We've had other measles outbreaks. But the tone deficit of what's happening is very clear because the measles outbreak is happening during the early months of the Trump administration. Maybe it would have happened a year earlier, a large measles outbreak. And the thing to do is to implement proven public health strategies, not to direct people toward potentially unproven remedies and in some ways, tie up the CDC in a straitjacket and not be allow it to do what it knows how to do, which is to support local health agencies in addressing a serious disease outbreak.
I mean, certainly more than coincidental where the measles outbreak really started to flourish, and it spread in numerous states, but its central base were Texas, New Mexico, which by most studies had low vaccination rates.
Yes, yes. And that problem of low vaccination rates has been an ongoing one for many years, and that's before the Trump administration took office. But there's an opportunity to address that, not to say things, do things, which make likely that low vaccination rates are going to continue.
You mentioned how, in his confirmation hearing, RFK Jr. made promises that he has, at least thus far, failed to keep and directly went against. One of those was the health of children, MAHA, they came to call it. And this past week, MAHA came out with its second report about steps to take, 128 recommendations. Most people who read it are finding one problem with the 128 recommendations, a lot of what's, very little of any how's. Would you agree with that?
As this was described by others, it's an intention report, not an action report. And it's a long list of intentions. And what's needed is activities and specifics and carry through and programs and funding. And when you're cutting funding of the agency that you're heading, and you're closing programs and you're firing people or otherwise terminating people who are administering these programs and are working to support the activities of the department, it just doesn't add up.
One another example, the recent MAHA report pledged to increase funding for school meal programs to, again, care for kids. Problem with that, isn't this the same administration that cut funding to the farmers who supply food for the school meal programs?
Absolutely. The left hand does not seem to know what the right hand is doing.
Is it also a concern with who Kennedy is bringing in to the kitchen with him? I mean, we have a tech entrepreneur as part of the hierarchy of HHS. Why is that a good idea?
Well, it's not. There's a very select group of appointees and advisors who are close to Kennedy, but it's a very select group, not broadly based and not looking often at, by any means, at the best person, but looking at tests of personal loyalty and backgrounds which are not conducive to important positions in HHS.
I mean, it's blatantly obvious. RFK Jr. doesn't want to be challenged in any way, shape, or form. And again, you could say, well, if you're the boss, why would you? But I always point back to when Jack Welch was head of GE, back when it was a much more stronger company than it is right now. And he literally had the open door policy. The door of his office at the top of the GE, at the RCA building, would be wide open. If you had an idea, if you wanted to challenge him, come on in, take your best swing.
Yes, I see the point that you're making. It's just not the way to run this very important and very large health and human services agency.
So we're Dr. Robert Steinberg, who is director of Public Citizens Health Research Group, citizen.org, their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Want to read a social media post for a reason, and a lot of people, I think, in just the rapid-fire way things are unfolding with everything to do with the current administration, a lot of people might have missed this. Reading here, it is very important that the drug companies justify the success of their various COVID drugs. Many people think that they are a miracle that saved millions of lives. Others disagree. With CDC being ripped apart over this question, I want the answer. I want it now. I've been shown information from Pfizer and others that is extraordinary, but they never seem to show those results to the public. Why not? They go off to the next hunt and let everyone rip themselves apart, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the CDC, trying to figure out the success or failure of the drug companies. COVID worked to show me great numbers and results, and they don't seem to be showing them to many others. I want them to show them now to CDC and the public and clear up this mess one way or the other. I hope Operation Warp Speed was as brilliant as many say it was. That was a social media post by Donald J. Trump literally just weeks ago. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., in effect, now has Trump doubting, questioning one of his actual first-term greatest achievements.
It's a very confusing juxtaposition. All of these, whether they're drugs for COVID-19, they're also vaccines, but everything which has been approved has gone through the FDA and has gone through a rigorous process. And while people may cast aspersions at that process and the decisions which were made, the information which was reviewed, regardless of whether it's how does a drug work or how does a vaccine work and what are the safety issues, there was absolutely nothing different in terms of the general, you know, FDA approach, albeit under a sense of a heightened need to move things forward, than there would be for other drugs, other vaccines. And here we are in 2025, and we really should be looking forward, not looking backward at many of these things. The infectiousness of the ability of a COVID-19 strain to cause severe disease can vary, and that can lead to appropriate changes in recommendations for medications when people are ill. It can also lead to changes in the composition of the vaccine and vaccine recommendations. But this has to be based on science and evidence, and it has to be deliberative with a great deal of expertise coming to the table. And that's what we should be doing. We should be looking forward and trying to find the best evidence way to move forward on both COVID-19 vaccines and drugs.
We have to wrap up here. And again, we just recognize the 24th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. I would wager to bet that a lot of people do not know that, again, promises made versus promises kept. Another falling short by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was his promise for the Federal World Trade Center Health Program to expand the illnesses that are covered by the program, as well as funding and staffing for the program, which in the first 3 months of the Trump administration under his watch were cut. And they had six senators from the region, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, write to RFK Jr. about, well, you made a promise, and you said by this past March things are going to be put back together, what you took apart, and so far he has failed to do so. It just seems like, you know, that leads me to maybe the best question. A lot of people say, well, we know it's really going wrong. He's breaking a lot of things, but it can all be fixed once he's gone. Can it be fixed, doctor, and can it be fixed easily and efficiently enough where more people aren't at risk for their health and well-being?
Well, if we speak about the vaccines and the public health and the infectious diseases, it takes time for the problems to develop. If we talk about the vaccine coverage, it's going to take time to reverse course. And these are not things where you can flip a switch and undo things, both in terms of the public, in terms of the capacity and the infrastructure of the federal health agencies, in terms of the support for research. So we are unfortunately looking at digging a deeper and deeper hole in which it's going to take time to get out of.
Which adds to the urgency, and it's certainly a valid wish, but do you think it's a realistic result that Kennedy will be removed from his position if he continues on the path he's in?
Secretary Kennedy is very entrenched, and there are calls for his resignation. There are calls for him to be fired, but he is entrenched at the moment, and I think we have to look at the current situation and things that people are concerned about, the direction which things are going, as to how that might be modified, whether Senator Kennedy can actually be convinced to resign or other things might happen. That's a matter of speculation, but from his perspective, I assume he feels that he's going to be where he is for a while.
And discussed this in the previous segment with another guest, that we saw the CDC come out with their vaccine schedule, and we have states like New Jersey, which went back to the previous CDC schedule, where if you want it, we can get it. They can't guarantee insurance will cover it, but hopefully there'll be a lead others will follow. And find out more about this other health issue, and all really serious, meaningful issues that unfortunately too much of the media does not cover. Public Citizen does, and they give you the knowledge, the information, and the activity and the advocacy. You find it all at citizen.org. He is the director of Public Citizen's Health Research Group, Dr. Robert Steinbrook. Doctor, thank you so much for your insight into an issue that I think is a lot more serious than people are considering it to be, and thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you.